Lecture 16, The First Diffusion of the Dharma in Tibet.
For the last couple of lectures, we've been talking about the development of the tantric tradition in India, one of the last major forms of Buddhism to arise and expand and develop in surprising ways in the later years of the development of the Indian Buddhist tradition. Now, as you know, the tantric tradition began as a countercultural movement, really on the fringes of Buddhist society. It was associated with many practices that were impure, challenging, perhaps a bit dangerous in the traditional way of understanding religious practice in India. So we really have to think of it, initially at least, as a fringe movement. But before many centuries had passed, Tantra became an integral part of life in the Indian monasteries. It really became part of the mainstream practice of traditional Buddhism. In the later half of the first millennium of the Common Era, from about 600 to about 1200, tantric practices and teachings became part of the tradition of monastic learning. They were as much a part of the monasteries as they were of anything else. These monasteries had large libraries, colorful rituals, and an elaborate monastic curriculum, ranging all the way from Buddhist philosophy and meditation to tantric ritual and to astronomy and medicine. Unfortunately, their great strength as institutions also turned out to be a major weakness. When waves of Afghan raiders began to sweep down across northern India, down across the Punjab, and down across the Ganges Basin, the monasteries were tempting targets for plunder and for destruction. They were very rich. They were full of precious ritual objects. They had large libraries. And they really represented, in many ways, one of the most tempting manifestations of the wealth of classical India. By the year 1200, after two centuries of devastating invasions, there was little left of Buddhist monastic culture in northern India but a handful of destitute old monks. So if we want to continue our study of the Mahayana in the Indian style, we have to shift across the Himalayas to Tibet, where Indian monastic culture has been preserved more accurately and more richly than anywhere else in the Buddhist world. The first introduction of Buddhism to Tibet, it's known in the history of Tibetan Buddhism as the first diffusion of the Dharma in Tibet, began in the 7th century, right about the time when Tantra was beginning to manifest itself in the Indian Buddhist community. During the 7th century, a line of Tibetan kings who first appeared in a valley in central Tibet known as the Yarlung Valley brought the Tibetan tribes under some kind of unified government and began to extend their military influence out of central Tibet into the rest of Asia. And as they did this, they came into contact with China, of course, to the north and to the east, and with India to the south. And in both of these places, they found quite sophisticated Buddhist cultures. In the 7th century, China was going through one of the most prosperous and active periods in the history of Chinese Buddhism. The same was true, of course, in India, in the culture of the great monasteries. So these early Tibetan kings began to link themselves to the larger countries or cultures of Asia by beginning to adopt some of their religious practices, and Buddhism was a central part of what they encountered in these places. Now, only 100 years or so ago, we didn't know very much about what was going on in this early phase in Tibetan history. We have a few great chronicles that were written at a later period that tell us all sorts of marvelous stories about these early Tibetan kings, but there was not much firm historical evidence about their reign other than a few inscriptions that were found throughout central Tibet.